The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason. Thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 9 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Flu Season.
Hey everyone, welcome to Making It Matter, a weekly podcast series presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julie and I both have cystic fibrosis, we're remaining compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by Novartis and Vertex Pharmaceuticals, so big thanks to them. So, Julia, flu season upon us, so you know what that means. It's time to get those flu shots. Have you gotten yours?
It's on my to-do list, number one priority in the next 7 days, for sure.
In the next 7 days, number one priority. It's the highest thing on the totem pole.
Yeah, so I should get it done tomorrow.
Yeah, I haven't got mine either yet, so I can't really be talking. In all fairness, it's still before Columbus Day. But yes, that is a necessary thing. I think I will probably schedule my appointment, if possible, right after this, or go down to my local, does Walgreens and Rite Aid do
pharmacy.
Them?
Pharmacy.
Yeah, they do. Sometimes.
It's easy, so no one has any excuse.
Yes, it is. It is really easy, except when you're Gunnar Esiason and you hate needles. I used to go kicking and screaming into those little appointments getting the flu shots. I honestly, until I guess you'd have to ask my mom to clarify, but right up until about 9th or 10th grade, they would hold me down so that they could give me the flu shot. I had to be held. I could not deal with needles. To this day, I still have a problem with them, but I don't.
I was going to say, how do you cope now?
I don't have that much of a problem, but I definitely still have some anxiety about it. I don't know. It's horrible. I just don't like them. But it's necessary. And to convince a 11-year-old child that the flu shot is necessary when it's the least favorite thing in his world, that's an impossible task.
Yeah. You and I are so opposite. I, used to go in, so ready for my flu shot, even as, a six-year-old. I had to look at the needle, and my nurses would always try to hide it. And I'd be like, no, that's how I do this. I have to watch you do this, or it won't happen. Oh, yeah, I was very brave or strange, or both.
Brave is definitely the word, I think. I definitely lacked bravery in that department. I guess I still do. I honestly still will not even look at an IV being put in or the little butterfly, you know?
Yeah,
I will not look at the little butterfly when they go to take my blood. I cannot look at it.
Wow. Meanwhile, when I get a pick line, I'm watching and they're like, are you sure you want to do that? Fine.
there's a lot of needles involved in the pick. There's the Novocaine.
There's a lot
the
of
stick. I honestly can't.
A lot of blood.
Yeah, no, it's not good. It's not a good thing. Not a good experience. It's not a good visual experience for the person that it's happening to. I think I could watch it if it was happening to someone else.
Oh, see, I'm the opposite. I can't watch it happen to someone else. It hurts me. I feel bad for that person.
Oh, wow.
Whereas I can be this is happening to me. I got this.
Yeah, really? I can watch those doctor shows on TV and I can sift through the gore and grossness of it. With no problem. But as soon as it starts happening to me, then I have, with the flu shot. Flu shot is probably the most harmless thing in the history of the entire world. The syringe is maybe 2 or 3 inches big. And, it's hardly anything. Hardly anything goes into your body. It's a very harmless thing.
Yeah.
And I am terrified of it.
I'll feel bad for you. I'll send you a lot of emojis on the day of your flu shot to help you get through it.
I still go to my pediatrician to get it done. I'm 25 and I still go to my pediatrician to get it done.
Just so you can get a Ninja Turtle Band-Aid?
Oh, yeah. I still go for the cartoon Band-Aid, the lollipop, the whole thing. It terrifies me, but I know how necessary. Honestly, I think the last year, the year before, was probably the first year I brought it up, like, with the family. I was like, oh, guys, it's time to get the flu shot. Usually it's like, Gunnar, have you remembered to get your flu shot yet? Or,
yeah,
Gunnar, you still haven't gotten your flu shot. Or my doctor, my CF doctor, being like, Gunnar, have you gotten your flu shot yet? It's time to get it. Let's, do you want to do it here? I'd be like, no, I'll just go. I'll schedule with my pediatrician. I cannot get over the mental block of how horrifying the flu shot is. But it's still necessary.
It's so important.
I do think it was a big moment for me last year when I realized that I have to do it myself. And I have to, yeah, like, I finally, like, braved up to the point where I could be like, okay, I'll go do it right now. So, yes, flu season is coming. First step is the flu shot. Second step is being aware of your surroundings, I think.
Yes.
Obviously, we don't want anyone to live in a bubble here. Certainly, I don't live in a bubble. Neither does Julia. You know, we're out there. We take chances. I mean, I work with high school kids, so that's the breeding ground for viral infections and infections, all these things, especially the flu during flu season. So I definitely put myself in harm's way as far as that goes. But it's important to be aware of the surroundings and always take the proper steps to make sure that you're keeping yourself as safe as possible, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I've surrounded myself with some quality friends that if they're feeling not so great, they make sure that we keep our distance too. And I think that's important. I also think it's important that flu shot's important for everyone, not just CF patients, especially if you live with a CF patient. You know, make sure your family members or your roommates at college are taking it upon themselves to get a flu shot.
Oh, yeah. For sure. When I lived in college, I required every single one of my college, yeah, roommates to get flu shots. And for a lot of them, it was the first time that they had ever done such a thing. Like, they went years, or maybe the first time in a while that they had done such a thing. There were, I think, two of them that had not gotten a flu shot within the past 5-6 years before they started living with me. And then I said, guys, listen, Boston College gives them, they're free. You have to go get these flu shots. Like, go get it done.
Yeah.
And they would go do it. Obviously, and I recognize that there are certain people out there who, for whatever health reason, can't get the flu shot, whether they don't have an immune system or things like that.
Right.
But if you're eligible for it, you got to go get it.
Yeah.
That's definitely number one step to safety precautions. Another thing to do is I love the surgical mask. I know it's not everyone's favorite topic, but if I'm on the subway in New York City, or if I'm on an airplane, or if I'm on an Amtrak train, or if I'm going somewhere basically with public transportation, I'm wearing a mask, because you don't really, you never know who's around you. Like, as the saying goes, mm-hmm, you never know who's sitting next to the movie theater. And I say that because, for all you know, you could be sitting next to someone with CF in the movie theater, but you can't drive yourself crazy in that respect. But you have to be aware of what's going on. If you're on the subway and someone starts coughing, they maybe move to the other side of the car, and it's a good thing to have the mask. I won't wear the surgical mask in the movie theater, because it's not the same kind of situation. I feel like there's probably a little more control I have to what's going on in there, but
right. Well, and it's not recycled air.
Yeah, it's also not a mass gathering. Whereas the subway, New York City subway, millions of people use it every single day. Mm-hmm. And how many of those people you think have gotten the flu shot, or how many of those people, even if they have gotten the flu shot, are suffering from the flu at that very moment? People are very stubborn, and they go out to work. That's the other thing that really bothers me. When people are sick, they keep going to work, they keep going to school, or they put not only are they putting themselves in harm's way or in a situation to fail, but they're also jeopardizing the people around them.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big, important topic, especially around family gatherings. Mm-hmm. People love to get together with their families around the holiday time. And it's a really weird dynamic, I think, when there's a CF person involved. You know, Thanksgiving happens, you know, the entire family or friends come to one gathering place, and let's say someone's sick. Does that ostracize the person with cystic fibrosis, or does that ostracize the person who may not be feeling well, even though he's directly related to what's going on at the event? What happens then?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not an easy answer. And I think it's probably conditional, like, based on everyone's own family. But, I mean, personally, I think if you're sick, then you shouldn't be putting other people in harm's way.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, I think, especially with Thanksgiving at our house, my mom and dad are usually the ones who host it. We definitely tell people if you have not feeling well, if you have small kids and they're not feeling well, then unfortunately, you know, don't come.
Refrain.
Or maybe make other or consider other plans or something like that, because, you know, the common cold for you or me, for someone with CF, is all of a sudden that becomes a 2 or 3 week ordeal.
Yeah.
Oftentimes yep. leading to IVs. So, whereas the common cold for a 6-year-old kid is like a 5-day thing, and it's over. So,
right.
you know, there's definitely, there are bigger picture issues out there than we can care to elaborate on right now. But I think it's important to at least have an awareness, or at least have a procedure set in place or a judgment set in place where you can, understand what's going on, understand who's going to be involved with you during the holiday time, and where you're going, where your son or daughter or CF might be. All these things are things to consider, not necessarily things to deter anyone from doing anything, but there are definitely things to consider as far as planning for the holidays goes.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. I think the responsibility falls on those that are not feeling well and those that know that they're going to be interacting with CF patients.
Especially someone with CF's not feeling well either. Like, is it really that smart of an idea to be around 30 people and have to be social for 4 days at a time when maybe you could cut back half the trip, or if you're not traveling too far, you know, you have to focus on your health at some point too. You got to be able to recognize that if I'm not feeling 100% and I have a big family gathering, a big 4 or 5 day family gathering coming up, is it really in my best interest to continue to push myself as hard as I can go, despite the repercussions of perhaps, you know, paying for it for the next month and a half?
Yeah, I skipped both of my dad's side and my mom's side, big Christmas parties. And like, that's something I look forward to all year long. I get to see my cousins. And this year I was sick in bed, and it would not have been beneficial to anyone had I shown up like that, you know? So
it's absolutely devastating when something like that happens. But
yeah.
At the same time, you're putting yourself in a situation to get better so they can get back out there and you can either get back to work or get back to school, because you have other things that you have to complete in life, you know?
Exactly.
It definitely pays to live day by day in a lot of ways with cystic fibrosis, but at the same time, it's important to recognize the bigger picture of a lot of things.
Yes.
I remember when I was in school, my dad asked me, you know, how much time do you think you missed? And I thought about it, and I recognized that I had probably missed a lot more time than I probably should have. And it was based on probably a few bad decisions that I made, where I definitely could have either scaled back on what I was doing socially, or how hard I was pushing myself academically, or how hard I was pushing myself to, you know, prepare for a career after college. And in my case, I was preparing for law school. I definitely did not prioritize my health in a lot of ways, and I definitely paid for it. And I'm not saying that I need to go crazy about these things. I think it's important to really live your life and do what you need to do. But at the same time, you have to recognize, and some things that I failed to recognize in college in a lot of ways, that I needed to prioritize my health ahead of some other things.
Right.
And that's like, it's living and learning, right? It's,
yes.
You know, you're not going to know how to do that from day one.
And it's hard to convince someone that until they learn it themselves.
Exactly. The question I always get the most is like, how can you convince my son or daughter with CF to be compliant like you are? And I say, well, unfortunately, the way that I learned was that I learned by sometimes not doing treatments and figuring out how terrible I felt afterwards.
Right.
That's the way it goes, unfortunately. I think, compliance with your treatments in a lot of ways is it's learned over time. It's not something that can be learned in 5 seconds. Just like your awareness to flu season. Like, we all have 25 now, so I've lived through 25 of these different events. You know, I've done it in high school, I've done it in college, I've done it in elementary school, and I know undoubtedly I'm going to get sick at some point. We're all going to get, you know, everyone, if you get through flu season without even getting the cold at some point, like, you're a miracle worker.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, unheard of. You have the immune system of, like, Hercules or something. It's like unbelievable. That doesn't happen. So you have to prepare yourselves for that to happen. You know, I definitely prepare myself to, not necessarily to be sick, but what I can do when I am sick. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, what we do, what we like to do when we keep ourselves busy when we are sick. And I try to stay on top of as much stuff as I can, especially, you know, the blog, the podcast. I try to stay on top of all that stuff when I'm not feeling well, just so that I'm not in the bigger picture of life.
Right. So that when you get back too, when you get back to feeling healthy, you're still in it. It's not like you feel like you're playing catch up.
Yeah. It's a seamless transition right back into feeling healthy again. I think that's probably the most, that's probably where I was going with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
All right, cool. Anything more you'd like to say about flu season? It's kind of a dull subject, but it's something that needs to be talked about. You hear about it on the news, you're like, oh, the flu vaccine this year isn't going to work. It's like got 25% effectiveness. Well, whatever. It's better than zero, right?
Get it.
such a harsh topic, but the bottom line is that you have cystic fibrosis, you don't want to get the flu. Like, right. I know people with CF who've gotten the flu. I had something similar to the flu a few years ago, and it sucks. It's the worst thing ever.
Yep. But
take it from me that having the flu is the worst thing ever.
Yeah. Take it from Gunner, who is terrified of needles. Get your flu shot.
Yes, there you go. There you go. That's from my personal experience, I've recognized that the flu shot's probably the best thing to do. And that's my personal experience as a 25-year-old kid. So that's where we're at. I want to go over to Making It Matter because we have a really pretty cool story. Definitely a special story. 10-year-old Jake from New Jersey, he has cystic fibrosis, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, and was recently diagnosed with lymphoma. So he's facing quite an uphill battle. Jake's GoFundMe page has gone viral, and it's been quite the success, so I want to encourage all of our listeners to check it out. Jake's been a big football player, he's a big athlete, and these are quite some hurdles that he has to face at 10 years old, and I think he embodies real courage and toughness.
Yeah, resilience, everything. Go send Jake your love. And I know Jake's a Eagles fan, and we're giving him a pretty good season. So hopefully we can continue that winning streak for you, Jake. We, as if I'm on the team.
Yes. Julia speaks for the entire Philadelphia Eagles organization.
Yeah.
So good for Julia there. I definitely.
Eagles.
Yes. Go. Personally, I don't like the Eagles very much. I understand Jake does, so I guess I can make an exception here. But Jake, we wish you all the best. You're definitely making it matter because you're getting the word about cystic fibrosis out there. And feel better soon, buddy. And we hope you get back out there playing sports as soon as possible. So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for the 9th episode of the Making It Matter podcast. Can't believe we're up to 9 already. Remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarSiason.com, JuliaRay.com. I think Julia Ray has a .com. And now you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, which is a new feature. So definitely, I know people are attached to their phones all day, so there's no excuse for not subscribing. It takes up like hardly any room on your iPhone or whatever phone you have.
Yes. Hit subscribe on iTunes and then hit follow on Instagram. We have an Instagram dedicated to the podcast. It is @makingitmatter_CF. So go hit follow and you'll get little clips of current podcasts and previous ones to keep you updated, and also some motivation sprinkled in there, some little inspiration.
Yes.
Gunner loves those.
Yes, inspirational quote memes. That's my favorite thing. If you want to see his podcast about something specific, you can always send us an email, either at my email address, gunnersblog@asiason.org, or Julia's email address, which I always seem to forget, is...
JuliaRay@JuliaRay.com. How could you forget that?
The most unique email address in the history of the world, and the most original for that matter. Or you can send either of us a message on Facebook. I love reading messages that I get on Facebook all the time. Especially after the past couple of podcasts and blogs we put out there have been, they've spurred a lot of conversation. So I definitely like reading and responding to y'all out there. And that's about it. So this is Gunnar Siason for Julia Ray signing off.
Bye, everyone.